morning, ladies and gentlemen. My first case for argument, Gutierrez v. Anglin. Ms. Jacobson.
May it please the Court, Nancy Jacobson on behalf of Porfirio Gutierrez. The District Court's denial of habeas corpus of Mr. Gutierrez's petition for habeas corpus should be reversed for the following reasons. First, the State Appellate Court's decision was contrary to federal law as established by Strickland v. Washington. The State Appellate Court misstated the standards under Strickland and gave no indication that it employed the methodology that Strickland requires. Second, even if the Court's analysis hadn't been contrary to Strickland, its application would have been unreasonable. Conclude that Mr. Gutierrez wasn't prejudiced by his counsel's failure to produce any evidence of Mr. Gutierrez's history of mental illness. The State Appellate Court had to disagree with a long line of mental health professionals who found Mr. Gutierrez suffered from serious mental illness. To then make that conclusion comport with the requirements of Strickland, the Court would have had
to... But now, he didn't really have a defense of insanity case, right? It was his self-defense, right? So he had to show somehow that there was self-defense, although unreasonable if it was brought about by his insanity. But how could there have been self-defense if he stabbed her in the hall?
Had Mr. Gutierrez's history of mental health been before the Court, a court could have concluded that Mr. Gutierrez reasonably believed that he was in danger.
I understand if people enter his apartment, he gets frightened and stabs them. He stabbed the man. But he must have gone out into the hall and attacked her. So how can that be self-defense?
Assuming that the stabbing did take place in the hall, which is...
Well, that was the testimony.
It was contrary to Mr. Gutierrez's testimony.
Well, that's where the body was.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And
how did the body get there if he stabbed her in the apartment?
Assuming that he did stab her in the hallway...
What's the alternative?
Although it's possible that Ms. Raymond could have entered the apartment and there could have been...
Oh, come on.
But you don't have any evidence, really, that she crawled out to the hall.
No, Your Honor.
I don't want to take my time arguing that. We know these facts are not favorable to your client, but that's just the reality.
I would like to try to answer Judge Posner's question about the murder happening in the hall, whether it could have still been a perception, an inaccurate perception, of a need for self-defense from Mr. Gutierrez. And Mr. Gutierrez's mental illness, which caused him to be frightened, to misperceive the threats, to respond perhaps to the fears that he had felt before in experiencing hallucinations of sounds of knocking at the door, may have caused him to act aggressively in self-defense, as Dr. Kavanaugh, the expert,
don't see even aggressive self-defense as going out into the hall and stabbing her.
You know, there wasn't even any evidence of a forced entry. There wasn't. The location of the blood was consistent with the testimony that he left his apartment, that he pursued his victim.
Mr. Gutierrez was standing in the doorway, and Ms. Raymond was outside the doorway. Mr. Gutierrez perceived that she had a brown bag with something inside of it. He testified that she was swinging at her. It's possible that a court could have decided that under the influence of his mental illness, he misperceived the threat in a way that caused him to feel he had to defend himself to prevent her and the people that she was with from coming forward and attacking him.
Well, now, just a different factual question I have. How much money was found in his apartment? Now, because there was some discussion about the $20,000 and then, you know, $2,000. Was there any money found there?
I am not aware of whether any money was found in there. I know that Dr. Kavanaugh testified that there was no basis at all for the statement that there was $20,000 in his apartment. and that amount of money was not found in the apartment. I do not know if there was some amount of money found in the apartment. Dr. Kavanaugh presented his statement that there was $20,000 or more in his apartment as evidence of his confusion and misperception of the facts at the time of the murder and afterwards as he described it to her. If I may, I'll just state that as we're talking about the facts, aside from the two reasons that I stated for that the district court's denial should be reversed, the third reason is that many of the facts that were determined by the trial court and then by the state appellate court were also unreasonably determined in light of the evidence and reflected.
Like
gosh, I have real difficulty with that argument because looking through the record, the court noted the trial court's weighing of the testimony, and then it proceeded to detail all of the evidence that was presented to decide if the determination was proper. I think there's a tiny bit of hopeful mischaracterization. I don't know. I don't want to use that word, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Without spending too much time on the facts that underlie the court's decision that Mr. Gutierrez was not mentally ill at the time of the murder, he based that decision on the fact that...
That's not the issue, whether he's mentally ill at the time of the murder. Of course he's mentally ill. The question is whether the mental illness precipitated his belief that he was defending himself. That's what you keep missing.
And the trial court and the state court, the trial court and the state appellate court did not discuss that issue either because they decided, based on the facts, that he was not suffering from schizophrenia at the time that he committed the crime. And that was the basis for the decision that did not comport with Strickland, which was that he was not suffering
from
schizophrenia.
But you have to distinguish. Look, people with schizophrenia are not... They're not in continuous mania, right? I mean, most schizophrenics are normal or semi-normal most of the time. They don't go around stabbing people, right?
And that's very rare. And, of course, that's true. And Mr. Gutierrez had exhibited healthy, normal behavior.
So the question is, what was his what is his general mental condition, but what was his state when he stabbed this woman?
And that's exactly right, Your Honor. And the question that should have been considered was whether there was a reasonable probability that an objective fact finder could have believed, based on the expert witness of Dr.
Remember, what the reasonable judge or jury would have to believe was that he went out into the hall and stabbed her, believing that he was defending himself. And that's what's so implausible. And after all, his behavior the rest of the day leading up to this, perfectly normal behavior, right?
And as...
So
As Dr. Kavanaugh explained in her testimony...
Pardon?
It is not unusual for someone who is paranoid schizophrenic to have normal interactions
activities. That's my point.
Right. So the question
most of the
then,
time they act more or less normally, and they certainly do not act violently. And tying his mental illness to his going out into the hall and stabbing her—that seems to me to be your problem.
The court did not have to decide that was the case, that the murder was caused by his mental illness. What the court had to decide is whether there is a reasonable probability that there was prejudice to him from the fact that the court did not get to hear
the relevant probability is that he would have been acquitted, right?
Oh, no. The relevant probability is not only that he would have been acquitted, but that he could have been convicted of second-degree murder.
No, that's what I mean.
Reasonable belief.
Acquitted of first-degree murder, yeah. No.
And whether a court might have decided, based on the evidence that 3 weeks before the murder, he had not only been diagnosed again with schizophrenia, but had complained specifically of fears, hearing voices, hearing sounds of knocking at his door, and whether a court might have believed that this could have, when people would not leave knocking at his door at 2 in the morning, that this could have triggered an irrational state in which his behavior was not what you or I would do, which is close the door and lock it.
But that day, those various behaviors and seeing people, the various delusions he was having, he didn't express that to anybody that day, the day of the murder. And he had interaction with several different people that day.
He did, and he did not seek mental health care that day. He had sought it only 3 weeks before.
And there was no evidence, what I'm trying to suggest, there's no evidence with the people he had interaction with that his behavior was out of the norm.
That is correct. What a court could have heard argued is that being awakened in the middle of the night by the kind of noises that he had been hearing and that had been frightening him could have triggered fears and paranoia in Mr.
Is there any evidence he'd ever had a similar reaction?
Is there evidence that he was ever stirred to irrational behavior by the hallucinations that he heard?
It's similar to what happened.
No, not that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Jacobson. Mr. Schneider?
May it please the Court, I'm Assistant Attorney General Josh Schneider on behalf of the respondent, Warden Anglin. It's correct that the relevant inquiry is not whether petitioner was generally schizophrenic, but whether he was suffering from acute symptoms on the day of, or rather the night of the murder, that caused him to unreasonably believe that deadly force was necessary to defend himself against Joyce Raymond. And that's exactly the inquiry that the State Appellate Court attended to. And it attended to that inquiry in terms of Strickland, said that the defendant has the burden of establishing that but for his defendant's failure to prevent his mental health history at trial, there's a reasonable probability that the trial court would have found he acted under a genuine, albeit unreasonable, belief that was necessary to use deadly force. And then it went through the evidence that was presented at trial and at the post-conviction evidentiary hearing and found that the evidence did not show that he had that belief. Specifically, when the court made that finding that the evidence didn't support acute symptoms on October 25th, it did not have to disagree or disregard all of the previous hospitalizations and the attendant diagnoses. Those diagnoses were of various psychotic and some schizophrenic conditions. But as Dr. Kavanaugh testified at the post-conviction evidentiary hearing, the symptoms of his condition, as she diagnosed it, subchronic, waxed and waned, such that, as she testified, at the beginning of the month, he might have present in one way, and at the end of the month, he may present in a completely different way, which is in the record at document 25-10 at 58 and 59, that there's a significant swing in how he presents in this particular case.
But the state's expert said he hadn't been observed long enough to get a real diagnosis. Couldn't, you know, that the time period where the state's expert said he needed to be under study or for like 6 weeks or something like that, that wasn't necessary, was it?
Well, the state's expert, Dr.
To have that diagnosis, given that he'd been diagnosed as schizophrenic several times before?
Well, according to Dr. Lorgos' testimony, it was necessary to give a what he describes as a pure diagnosis that was reliable. The reason that these shorter hospitalizations, Dr. Lorgos felt, could not be relied upon for a diagnosis of longstanding schizophrenia was, first of all the diagnoses were different, one from the next. Second of all, they were made under circumstances where Dr. Lorgos believed the period of hospitalization was not long enough to guarantee that petitioner was free of the effects of drug and alcohol. And as
you
both
say,
experts,
forgive me, but you said they were all different. But everyone agrees, do they not, that he's a schizophrenic?
No, Your Honor. Some of those diagnoses were of schizophrenia, and Dr. Lorgos
testified.
For
you
example,
think he's normal?
No, Your Honor. I think that everyone would agree that.
Okay,
that
so what's his problem? What do you want to call it?
Well, it depends on which psychiatrist you ask. Some of them diagnosed him with an acute psychosis.
What difference is there?
No relevant difference.
Right.
The general.
What does it matter whether he's schizophrenic or otherwise psychotic?
It really doesn't matter, because the question is whether on the night of the murder he was suffering from delusions that.
So you agree he's mentally ill?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
I'm not qualified to say what the mental illness is, but there's certainly something there.
So why does it matter whether that he didn't have 6 months of observation to determine whether he was schizophrenic?
Well, Your Honor, I would contend that it doesn't. I was responding to Judge Williams' question as to whether that mattered for a diagnosis of schizophrenia.
Just in your brief that it matters, right?
And well, the court seemed to suggest it mattered, more importantly.
Right.
Well, the trial court did. And the trial court also made reference to the remoteness of the most recent diagnosis, which was in the beginning of the month on October 1st. And although remoteness doesn't have any bearing at all when you consider whether someone is in general suffering from a mental illness, it is relevant when one's considering whether someone was suffering from acute symptoms at a particular time. Again, Dr. Kavanaugh testified that at the beginning of the month he might present one way, and at the end another, which is exactly the situation we have here. On October 1st, he presented with apparently severe symptoms. At the end of the month, the testimony suggests that he was not suffering from any of those symptoms. He conducted a perfectly normal, if not particularly, or frankly, fairly active
social
calendar.
Well, his behavior, including the murder, is not normal, right? He didn't have anything against this woman. Do we think there was another motive for the murder?
Well, Your Honor, the motive that he provided was that he thought they were trying to rob him because
he'd
been...
Well, of course. That's part of the nuttiness. But what's the suggestion that if he was having a lucid interval, why would he have killed her?
Well, Your Honor, both of the psychiatrists, or rather, the psychologists, Dr. Kavanaugh and Dr. Lorgos, both testified that had he $20,000 in his apartment, and there's no evidence to say he did or didn't, that he would be reasonable in believing that someone knocking at his door at 2:30 in the morning was there to rob him.
But they're assuming, well, that's why I asked the question about the money. There's no indication there was any money found in his apartment.
Right. Nor is there indication that there wasn't. There's no inventory of his apartment other than the bloody knife they found in plain view on the kitchen table.
And then the court seemed to discount hallucinations he had because they were self-reported. That was another kind of thing
but
that
again,
I found odd.
That's the trial court, and we're looking at the state appellate court's decision. The state appellate court, in conducting its own Strickland analysis, didn't mention any of that. It went through the evidence that was presented. It went through the evidence that was presented at the post-conviction hearing on his mental condition at the time of the murder, and it found that the state trial court was not manifestly erroneous in finding that that evidence did not support the conclusion that he was having schizophrenic delusions on October 24th or the early morning of 25th.
But are you suggesting the government's position that he was lucid when he killed her?
Our position is that, yes, he was lucid when he killed her, or at the very least, Your Honor.
I don't have any motive for him going out into the hall and killing her. No, your position is that there's nothing connecting his insanity with self-defense. That's your position.
And our position is also that...
But to argue that he's perfectly normal, you know, yeah, he goes out, kills someone in the hall, normal. After all, it doesn't make any sense. So he stabs the fellow who then retreats into the hall. So he doesn't have to go out and kill people, right? Just closes his door. If he's sane, he just closes his door, even if he has money in the apartment.
I don't know how valuable this is to this, but I would suggest that many criminals who commit murder, that murder is not strictly necessary. And in this case, certainly, his murder of Joyce Raymond in the hallway was not necessary. Whether it was motivated by schizophrenic delusions on the night of, there's no evidence that it was.
But see, this is a situation where somebody's trying to steal his gym shoes or some of these other things we read about in the paper where there's some provocation or some incident or cross words were exchanged. We don't have any of that in this record.
No, that's correct, Your Honor. What we do know is that he was drinking and smoking marijuana on the day of, and both testifying experts did say that those can produce similar symptoms. albeit not mitigating symptoms, that is not mental illness.
An insane person does crazy things. The chances are there's a connection. I don't know why you deny that. It has nothing to do with your case. For some reason, he's pitched all his defense on the fact that this was self-defense, albeit unreasonable. And it seems to me your strongest position, the court's position, is that the murderer occurred in the wrong place for it to be self-defense.
And
if he was defending his money, that's not self-defense. That's mm-hmm. defense of property.
Sure. Right? And we raise in our brief, and I'll raise now, that the state appellate court noted that the physical evidence supported that he was not under a mistaken belief that he had to defend himself. And they pointed to the location of the blood spatter in the hallway.
I think that's a powerful argument, but I don't think the argument that he was lucid when he stabbed her is plausible.
Well, then we are delighted to have a stronger argument to fall back on. You know, if there are no further questions, we would ask this court to affirm the decision.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schneider. So, Ms. Jacob, your time had expired, but you can have another minute if you have anything further you want to say.
In response to the question that you asked to Mr. Schneider about what would possess Mr. Gutierrez to go into the hallway and stab Ms. Raymond, the explanation put forth that he believed he had money in his apartment also doesn't explain why he would step outside into the hallway to commit a murder when he could presumably have closed the door if she wasn't trying to force entry into the apartment. Mr. Gutierrez's behavior is not lucid. A court might have found that he did not have a reasonable belief, an unreasonable belief that he needed to defend himself, but a court might have found that he did, and the court never got to hear that information. When the trial court sat at the evidentiary hearing, it did not properly consider the Strickland standards of whether another court might have decided that that evidence of mental illness did tie.
Why didn't his lawyer argue that he committed the murder because he was insane? Why did he go to this? Why bring in self-defense?
If Mr. Gutierrez's belief in committing the murder was that he was acting in self-defense, his lawyer may have presented that.
I know that, but why did he bring in self-defense? We had a case a couple of years ago where a fellow killed his boss, and he thought that the boss had orchestrated a conspiracy of Catholics against him, and that he was supposed to go to a meeting with the boss, marketing meeting, and he felt that that this was to get him away from his house so that the Catholics could continue installing surveillance, equipment. So he's totally loony. But he couldn't have argued self-defense. That wasn't the nature of his concern. But that was and we reversed because we said yes, he had evidence of this, and the trial had mishandled it.
Mr. Gutierrez
also, I don't know why he had to, in order to present an insanity defense, why he had to tie it to self-defense.
It may be that Mr. Gutierrez was not criminally insane because he knew that murder was wrong unless he had to do it to defend himself, so that the legal explanation for his behavior is the one that's covered by second-degree murder, the one that says that he acted in a genuine, although unreasonable, belief that he had to protect himself. An insanity defense may not have accurately described his mental state. He may have understood that murder was wrong.
That's
that it
not
was
enough.
A crime.
No. You can know that murder is wrong, but if you're crazy, you could think that the person you stabbed was a rooster, right, rather than a person, right? That's
as far as we know. Mr. Gutierrez did not have that colorful a mental illness, but what he did have was fears of being attacked, fears of noises that he heard that he didn't know whether they were real or not. And when he heard the knocking in the middle of the night and then got up, asked people to leave, and they didn't leave, eventually opened the door and killed one of them.
See, the money business really undermines your case, because if what he was concerned about was having his money stolen, that's not an excuse. That's not self-defense to defend your property.
Second-degree murder law does allow for self-defense and protection of a home or property if someone is at your property and you believe that you're in danger. Now, it's
well, yes, but you have to feel endangered. You can't just be.
And Mr. Gutierrez standing in the doorway of his home, if he believed that he had $20,000 standing behind him with a large intoxicated woman with something in a brown bag and two boys with her, may have very well felt threatened. A court might, hearing that evidence, might have decided that he acted in the belief that he needed to defend himself.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jacobson and Mr. Schneider.